We come before you, Father. We thank you that your word is living. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. God, we thank you that it speaks to us today, Father, as we look into your word, that it has something to say to us today. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Well, maybe seated, and we're going to start this morning. I'm going to be talking about speech. I'll be talking about our words over the next period of maybe 3 or 4 weeks. We'll see how long it goes. But this morning, I wanted to start in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. The Bible says here, Jesus is saying that we are the salt of the earth. And we're going to talk about what the salt is, what it represents today. And you know, the thing is, we need salt to live. How many know that you need salt? It's a mineral that we need to move in life and to live a healthy life. And the Bible says we are seasoning to this world. Amen? And so our life, when we speak, our words should bring seasoning to the world. It should bring change to the world. And the Bible speaks about salt because I believe that salt is symbolic. There's four things that salt does. We're going to just dig into these this morning. Number one, salt preserves. The first thing that salt does is it preserves. Salt needs to permeate in order to preserve, and permeation is a slow process. How many know that? And you know, we live in a day and an age where we have refrigeration. We can just throw something in the fridge and it preserves for a very long time. But how many know up until not too long ago, right, they didn't have refrigeration. You had to keep things on ice, or if you lived in biblical days in the Middle East, I mean, obviously, you got the sun and more sand and heat. I mean, there's no fridges around, so you had to salt water. You had to keep meat in a jar and had to be contained. And the salt will permeate and actually preserve that which needs to be preserved, right? And I think it's important to realize that our brain is like a computer: input in, input out. And I think that when we speak words of life to people, it permeates and it preserves and it brings about character and the character of Christ, the character that Jesus wanted to be in the earth. Amen? Because the Bible says that he wanted his kingdom to come as it is in heaven, the same way he wants it on earth, right? And so how many know when you go to heaven, you know, you don't ask people how you're doing and they say, I'm having a bad day and life sucks. And you know, you don't talk like that in heaven. Why? Because you're in the very presence of God. Amen? And so our lives, the Bible says that we're peculiar people. We're different from the world. Why? Because the life of God is in us. So when we speak words, they should be words of life. Right? And I think that with our words, we can actually preserve the nature and character of Christ in the earth. And that was our job. Jesus gave us a great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, because as we preach the word of God, it actually preserves. And I think that if we didn't have Christians today, everyone talks about everything the church does wrong, but if we didn't have the church, could you imagine the hellhole we'd live in today? Amen? We always want to look at the negative, but in fact, because the church has stood for truth for so long, we actually, you know, we're holding back the just judgment of God. All right? And so we need to learn to speak positive. Bible says, whatever things are pure, whatever things are holy, whatever things are of a good report, think on these things. Meditate, ponder on things that are positive and are good, because our mind is a computer, input in, input out. And so we begin to speak what's been inputted into our hearts and into our minds. Amen? And some Christians spend more time watching movies and TV and all this stuff, and we're getting input from the world's viewpoint and how the world perceives and how the enemy thinks of you. And then you begin to speak the word, and it has no power. Why? Because you haven't been putting into your mind, you're not renewing your mind with the word. Amen? And so God wants us to remember that our brain is like a computer. Whatever you put in is what's going to come out. All right? And we need to learn to speak positive. Someone might need to hear a positive word today. Someone might need to hear somebody, maybe one of you, just God will use you to give someone a word. Say, you know what? God loves you. You know what? Did you know you have a gifting in your life? You know, when you're around me, I see the presence of God. It might be something simple, but it's positive. It comes out of your mouth and it builds faith in people. Amen? Amen? And so our words have been, they need to preserve. We need to have, our words need to be seasoned with salt. So we know that it preserves, but number two, the second thing that that our words can do if we do it right is they are salt also seasons. It seasons. In Colossians 4:6, it says, "Let our speech always be with grace." Grace means unmerited favor. So let our speech sometimes be with grace. No, it says always. Let your speech always be with unmerited favor, seasoned as it were with salt. I think it's a New Living Translation says, it uses the word, who has that translation open? Probably nobody. What does it say exactly? It says, yeah, Colossians 4:6. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive. There we go, right there. Attractive. I want to ask you this question today. Are your words attractive? When you speak to people, go, I really like to hear this person talk. He has or she has attractive words. Amen? And Jesus always spoke life. Jesus always spoke life. He always had something good to say. People came and said, you know, my kid is dead. No. He's only sleeping. Didn't make sense to them. But what Jesus would not identify with death, Jesus spoke life. Jesus spoke life. Jesus spoke life. And guess what? If God lives in you and God is a speaker of life and God calls those things that be not as though they are, if we want to talk like God and walk like God, we got to learn to call those things that be not as though they are. So instead of saying, oh, this is the situation I'm in, you say, this is where God's called me to be. You begin to speak those things that be not as though they are because you get to know God and you begin to talk like God. Amen? So our speech needs to be seasoned with salt. God wants to pour out his unmerited favor on our lives. You know, if you eat something good, you will desire it again. A simple concept, but you know, some of you've gone out to a restaurant and you've had the food. You might get a heart, like a big plate of food, like a huge plate of food, but you take one bite and you're like, I don't know if I can get through this. It looks good, but somebody don't know how to season. Now, you know what I like? I like jerk chicken. I like Jamaican jerk chicken. I haven't had some in about 10 years, and I know a Jamaican family now in the church, and I'm coming for, can I invite myself? I want some jerk chicken. But I'm telling you, if somebody knows how to season, and then you go to a fancy restaurant, right, and you get this small portion, and it's like, but the food is fabulous. How many know what I'm talking about? You just wish there was more of it. And so, if we season, if our words are seasoned, if they're bringing life to people, they're going to want to come back for more. So I just want to be around that person because when they speak, I feel encouraged. When they say something, I feel like a better person than I was before I met them. They make me feel like I belong or I'm special. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Because our words are seasoned with salt. And it actually says in James that out of our mouth should not proceed both blessings and cursing. These things should not be. With the mouth, we bless God, but with our mouth, we curse men who are made in the image of God. This cannot be. And so as Christians, we got to be very, very careful that our words are bringing life, amen, and not death. So our words actually season. They preserve, they season. And number three is salt is an antiseptic, right? And antiseptic actually means counterattacks, and anti means counterattack. Septikos means rotten. So it counterattacks rottenness. And I think that as we begin to speak the word of God, when people talk about someone wrong, they begin to gossip, they begin to talk about the negative things in people's lives. It's not a good thing. But if you begin to speak what God says about other people and begin to lift them up and begin to point at the Christ in them and talk about their good things and their good qualities, what you actually are doing one thing, you are counterattacking the rottenness within them. Amen? It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Aren't you glad God doesn't focus on everything you do wrong? Isn't that good? Why in the world do we do it? If we will speak the love of God into people, call them to a higher place. Well, what if somebody's in sin and they're just messing up their life? Can I not address it? Of course you can. But you know what? There's a right way of doing things. Amen? And I remembered in Bible college, one of the things that Pastor David taught Camilla and I said, he sat us down and said, if you're going to point out a flaw in somebody's life, you got to tell them 7 or 8 good things first. Say, you know what, I really like this about you. You're a great person. You're this and that. And you just go on and you say, but this is one area you have to work on. See, that's the right way of doing things. Amen? But our natural tendency is just to be like, oh, you know, you're doing this wrong and this. And we begin to tear down with our words instead of building up. How many hear what I'm saying? And I believe that our words actually will counterattack rottenness and cause people to rise up to a new level. Amen? I talked to you guys about the time when I was backslidden and my mother was a peculiar person to me because I'd come home and I knew I was out doing things I shouldn't have been doing, hanging out with the wrong crowd, you know, smoking the wrong stuff. I mean, I was not a good boy. And I'd come home and my mom would say, you're such a man of God. There's a calling of God on your life. There was just like, it's like, who's smoking something here? Is it me? I didn't understand that. But then what it did was it began to cause me to look and say, well, maybe I am a man of God. Maybe I'm not supposed to be. And I began to, because she was pointing out what she saw prophetically, what God had spoken over me. She was speaking forth those things that be not as though they are. Amen? That doesn't mean she didn't struggle. Right? I remember Dalma, where's Dalma? There you are. She just spoke with me last week. She said, I remember meeting you. Must have been about 20, how many years ago was that? It was a long time ago. I was 18 or 19, and my mom was concerned, right? She said to Dalma, because my mother and Dalma were friends, she said, "Ah, would you pray for my son? I'm really concerned for him. He's not in a good place and that." And so she brought me over to visit, and she encouraged my mom. Dalma said, "What did you say to her?" She said, "I saw the glory of the Lord all over your son." And it encouraged my mother, because she could have said, "Yeah, you're right, he's a mess. I mean, that guy is not, I mean, he's going nowhere." But no, she spoke the word of God, and guess what happened? It lifted my mom's spirit, and it caused her to hold fast to the promise. And so our responsibility as believers is to say, you know what? What has God spoken to you? I'm in agreement with you. We're going to get through this thing. Amen? Because God has called you. God has anointed you. God has equipped you. We begin to speak life. We begin to speak life. And then what you do is you begin to look at your life and say, yeah, you're right. I'm a woman of God. I'm a man of God. Why am I dealing with this stuff? The Bible says that we're to throw off, to cast off the old man. Throw it off. Well, why would you want to throw it off if everyone's focusing on it? But you begin to focus on who you are in Christ, and you'll just toss it off. And change comes. Amen? Amen? God desires to take us to new levels with him. God is so good. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. We'll go there together. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. And what I'll do is I'm going to go for another 15 minutes, and then we'll continue with wherever we left off next week as we press into this. So Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. God is speaking to Abraham. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. See, this is how God thinks. This is how God operates. He calls those things that be not as though they are. He looks down, he says, there's a people that are going to serve me and they're going to love me. He put his hand on you and he said, I'm going to go after that person because there's a woman of God, there's a man of God there. Amen? And he begins to speak those things that be not as though they are. That's God, and that's how God operates. All right? And look what it says here. He does two things. He gives life to the dead and he calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So God's words have creative power. Say, God's words have creative power. And I want to say this. It's very important that we get this. If we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, if we're joint heirs with him, if we're partners in ministry with Christ, amen, How many know if that's the position that we are in, then we got to begin to call those things that be not as though they are. We need to begin to talk like God. Amen? And it's very interesting as you begin to study the scripture, you see that Jesus spoke very differently. Jesus spoke in agreement with what God had to say about every situation. So let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse 18. We're going to move on. Next verse. Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. I mean, he was in a bad situation. Contrary to hope. Have you ever been in a place where it's like everything is falling apart? It's like you're hoping for something, but everything looks opposite, like it's never going to happen. Well, think about Abraham. His body's 100 years old. That's contrary to hope. God said, I'm going to have kids. My wife's going to have kids. Like, we can't do that. We're too old. But he chose to believe. And look what it says here. Who contrary to hope, in hope, believed. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And look at here. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was already 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And here's the key. Here's the balance. You want the balance? Faith begins with the known will of God for your life. Faith begins with the known will of God. Abraham had the voice of the Lord come to him and say, you will be a father of many nations. And so he knew the known will of God for his life, so he was able to hold fast to the promise of God, not wavering on unbelief, but holding fast because he had heard God. We need to know the known will of God through the scripture. What has God given us? What has he blessed us with? What does his word say? Because if we hold fast to that word, God is able to bless us. Amen. Do I have a bucket here? I need a bucket. Someone bring me a bucket. If there's any, there's probably one back there as we move on. All right. So he believed, even contrary to hope, he believed and was blessed. In John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Amen? And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. Amen? And so if we know the known will of God through the word of God, it is actually like this bucket. Faith is a bucket. All right? And God always puts the promise, all right? The blessing of God always comes into the promise of God. And so if you have the promise of God sitting over here and you're saying, oh God, and you're praying and you're asking God to make your life better, and you're just, you know, you're just going through the motions of your prayer life and everything, but you're not holding the promise of God. God has nowhere to put the blessing. Amen? When you know the known will of God, God can put the blessing, he can put the blessing into the promise. God responds to his word. Amen? When God spoke to the children of Israel, he said, I want you to, through Joshua's leadership, to march around the city of Jericho so many times. How many remember that? And on the seventh day, I want you to go around seven times. And he was obedient to the promise of God, and he did what God told him to do. And it was as if God was able to put the blessing into the promise. Now, if he would have said, listen, I think it's silly to march around the walls. I'm only going to do it once, even though God told me to do it seven times. You know, the people are getting tired. They think I'm silly, so we're just not going to follow the will of God. And guess what? They would never have taken Jericho, because God can only put the blessing into the promise. So when we hold the promise of God and say, God, I thank you that I'm more than a conqueror. God has something to give you. Amen? He puts the blessing into the promise. So as a people, we have to know how to hold God's word, and we need to learn how to pray God's word and say, God, I thank you that your word declares this, and I'm holding on to your promise. And as you hold on to the promise, what was that? Oh, God just dropped a blessing into my promise. You hear what I'm saying? And many times we pray, but we don't pray with the promise of God. Amen? And God always puts the blessing into his promise. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 to 22. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. In other words, if you're coming boldly before the throne room of grace and you're spending time with the Lord, you're in relationship with the Lord, whatever we ask, we receive from him. Because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. We're in relationship. All right? So this is for us today. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 4, verse 19, and we'll continue here. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Say this with me. Say, strengthened in faith. How many need to be strengthened in faith? Do you know what? You can go through your Christian life and be really strong in faith one day, and then, you know, a couple weeks go by, and you just, you know, life hits you, and then you're weak in faith, and then you need to strengthen yourself up, and then you get weak. Do you know that we can strengthen ourselves in faith? Abraham had to. Do you guys see that? It says here, he didn't waver the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that he had what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. And we are the children of Abraham. When we believe God, that what he's promised for us is ours, we move out of the works realm into the faith realm, and God is able to put the inheritance of blessing into our lives. Amen? Now it is not written, verse 23, for his sake alone it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offense and was raised because of our justification. So how do we strengthen our faith? Here's the question. How do we strengthen our faith? It's important because Romans chapter 1:17 says this, and I want you to read this here. Let's read it together. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by feelings. Oh, no, sorry. By faith. Sorry, I missed it up. And you know, faith propels us forward. Okay, so number one, let's talk about the tongue. Number one, what does salt do? See if you remember. Preserves. It's an antiseptic. It seasons. And it propels us forward, is number four. Our words propel us forward. The just shall live by faith. We don't live by feelings. I know I'll tell you this week I just felt a real... Have you ever had a day where you just don't feel saved? See your hands. Well, I have those days some days. And, you know, you see, pastors have those days. Yes, we do. We're all the same. We're human. And I had a day I just didn't feel saved. Was I sinning or thinking about things? No, I just you know, where's the presence of God? I kind of feel discouraged today. And, you know, it's just, you know, just some bad attitudes kind of creeping up on me and stuff like that. And didn't really feel the presence of God. How many know what I'm talking about? And you know what? That can linger and go on in your life. All right? But we're not moved by how we feel. The just shall live by faith. And Abraham strengthened himself in the Lord. How? By giving glory to God. And so the Lord spoke to me. He says, I want you to do something. And this is the scripture that he brought me to here. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. It says, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, a lot of people take this scripture and say praying in the Holy Spirit is talking about speaking in tongues, you know. Okay, I agree with that. That's fine. But I want to take it in a different level. Praying in the Holy Spirit is this. When you pray, the Spirit and the Word agree. And so, you know, I was feeling down. I was feeling a little discouraged and just don't feel the presence of God. So God says, I want you to begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. So I began to do what God told me to do. And I began to say, thank you, God. that you love me, that I'm your son, that your spirit dwells in me, and the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. Oh, and you give strength to my mortal body. And I thank you, God, that if you freely gave us your son, how much more do you want to give me all things? I thank you that you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. And I thank you, God, that you know that I'm joint heirs with Christ, that you've seated me. And all of a sudden, oh my goodness, the presence of God is beginning to burn. All of a sudden, I can feel God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit and the Word of God agree. So when you begin to speak the promises of God out of your mouth, you begin to transform the way you feel. Because the presence of God is activated the moment you declare the truth of God. I went through 3 days of feeling down and feeling like, where's the presence of God? And all of a sudden, in literally 3 or 4 minutes of just declaring what God says about me, talking about, just repeating the promises of God, all of a sudden the presence of God fills me. Amen. And that's your homework for this week, is I want you to go, and I want you to literally do this when you're feeling lousy. If you're not feeling lousy, feel lousy this week. And then just begin to declare the truth of God's word. Get your Bible open, read a scripture over yourself. Thank you, God, that this is the truth. Thank you that this is the truth. I thank you that this is the truth about me. And all of a sudden, you'll feel the presence of God. You'll begin to laugh. You begin to say, oh my goodness, what's going on here? God is with me. And all of a sudden, you're encouraged in the Lord. How many know what I'm talking about? Because the warfare, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, talks about the warfield, the battlefield being the mind. And so the enemy will do anything. He'll send people, you know, situations, the way you've... And all of a sudden you'll begin to think contrary to what God says. And the Bible says that we got to cast down all of these imaginations, these thoughts. And, you know, we talked about it this morning. And we have to receive the implanted word and say, this is what God says. And all of a sudden it lifts your spirits. Amen? How many hear what I'm saying this morning? And so we don't live by our feelings. And this is one of the negative side effects of the renewal movement, which I love, by the way. I'm not putting it down. But that people got so accustomed to the beautiful presence of the Holy Spirit that God sent that as soon as the Spirit of God's not there, we move into doubt and unbelief. Oh, I don't know if God's with me because I don't feel his presence today. I don't got goosebumps. My hands aren't shaking when I lift them. What's going on? God's not with me. No, he's with you, and you need to step in by faith. Hallelujah. How many hear what I'm saying? And so we activate the presence of God. We activate the word of God when we stand in faith and we hold out the promises of God. Amen. Faith is important. There's two types of confessions we have to master as believers. Number one, confession of sin. Come boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy. Lord, I messed up. Help me up. And you get up and you go again. Amen. But the second confession is the confession of faith. And we're going to close today with this verse. And we'll pick up next week. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful who promised. So God has promised us stuff. And he's faithful. We're not going to give up. We're not going to waver. We're going to hold fast. All right? And so God wants us to hold fast our confession or profession of faith. Very, very important. Now, can I finish with one more verse? Okay. I'm going to give you the key. Because everyone says, what is faith? What is faith? Is it just confessing scriptures? Absolutely. I know there's people that confess scriptures and all the scriptures and confess them and they don't have any fruit. Because it doesn't just have to do with confessing scriptures. That's important. But let's look what it says here. I'll give you the key. It's so simple. It's so simple. You guys want it? Okay, here it is. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18. It says here, rejoice always. Always. That means, thank you, God. Listen, we're all going to go through trials. We're all going to go through valleys. Okay, no, actually, we're going to go through trials, but we need to soar above our trials. And in our trials, we begin to rejoice and thank God because he's going to get glory. And in the midst of it, there's going to be breakthrough. We're going to go to a higher level. Amen? So we're going to have trials, but we're not going to go through the valley and, oh, poor me, and God's taking me through Job's thing and all that. No, we rise above it. We thank God through it. Now look at the next one here. Rejoice always. Next one. Pray without ceasing. That talks about fellowship with God continually. Don't lose that. Number three, in everything, give thanks. Now, it doesn't say, this is where some Christians get it wrong, for everything. Well, God, I thank you for this cancer that you gave me, and that, God, I thank you for this situation. No, you don't thank God for everything, because not everything comes from God, but in everything, it doesn't matter what I'm going through, I'm thanking you, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen? And so here's how it works. This is faith. You want to know what faith is? God, I thank you, Lord God, that you're for healing my body. I got a sore back today, so I thank you that your word says by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. And then you begin to say, thank you, Father, that you're healed. Thank you, God, that I'm healed. I thank you, Father, that you have touched me. I thank you, Lord. And you just begin to thank God for what you already prayed for. Because what you're doing is you're calling those things that be not as though they are. Amen? So when you begin to thank God for everything, you're holding up your bucket of faith saying, okay, God, I believe your promise. Even though I don't feel it, even though every situation in life seems, if I'm holding on to the promise of God, and I thank you that that promise is for me. And all of a sudden, boom, something falls in the bucket. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So as I'm seeking him, I believe he's going to reward me. Amen? And I'm going to thank him. So the problem is, and this is what God spoke to me this week, is many times we come and we pray, very nice prayer, and we even pray the word, but then we don't, it's not really a prayer of faith. Because a prayer of faith is when you pray, Father, I thank you for the situation I'm going through, Lord, and you know the situation. And I thank you, God, for my kids, for example. I thank you, Lord, they're going to serve you. I know Johnny's backslidden. And, you know, Amanda's messed up with her gender identity. I'm just giving examples, okay? That kind of stuff. And you say, but I thank you, God, that me and my household shall serve the Lord. And I thank you, God, that you heard my prayer. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to move in. And I'm just going to trust you. And I believe that you're... What that is, it's moving you into faith. Because you're beginning to thank God for that which you have not yet received. Because God hears it. And he calls those things that be not as though they are. And that's how God operates. Does that make sense to anybody today? Amen? So God is calling us as a people, and I don't want faith to be any more complicated than that, okay? Faith begins with the known will of God. And this is where in the Word of Faith movement, sometimes it goes in the ditch. You know, in Bible school, we went to a faith Bible school, and you got, I'll say Brian, just use names, because in case you meet some of my colleagues in the future, say, oh, I'm claiming that woman for my wife, and I just believe in God for it. Well, you can't do that because her will, she's claiming somebody else, and this person, they're all claiming each other, and there's free will. People's will is involved, and it's just, it's goofy, right? I'm believing God for a Ferrari. Why would you believe God for a Ferrari? God knows you're going to kill yourself on the highway on that thing. So, I mean, but what is the known will of God? Amen? What is the known will of God for your life? I desire that you be in health and prosper, even as your soul prospers. The promises of God is to bring us into soul prosperity first and foremost. Amen? And that's all the world wants anyway. You look at Hollywood, and they're on their 15th marriage, and, you know, they're trying to figure out, you know, who they are, and what's the issue here? They have all the money in the world, right? They have all the popularity. Can't even walk down the street. Everyone mauls you. You got popularity. You got money. But you can't make relationships work. You're depressed. You're suicidal. What's going on? Because the most important thing is prospering in your soul. And that's all anyone's really longing for at the end of the day is soul prosperity. And it belongs to us. Amen. And so I want to say as we close today, this week as you go forth, begin when you're feeling down or you feel, I don't even know if I'm saved. Don't move by those feelings. Just begin to thank God. Say, God, I thank you that I'm your child. I thank you that you saved me. I went to the altar in 1943. I'm a time traveler, no. But you begin to just declare the word of God, and all of a sudden your soul begins to lift up. And something supernatural happens in your life. It can't happen for those who aren't saved. You understand that? It won't happen for those that don't know God because it's a work of the Holy Spirit because he agrees with the word of God and all of a sudden the life of God begins to flow. How many agree with what I'm saying today? Amen? God is good. Hallelujah. Yes. Sure. Okay, come up. Yep. You know what? Stay there. I'll bring you the mic. You sit there and enjoy your seat. Here. It's all right. No, just...
I know my people. I know the desires of their heart, and they shall receive it. Glory to God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, why don't we stand and just close in prayer this morning and have a time of fellowship? Amen. If you agree with what we spoke today, I want you to just declare this after me. I'd say, thank you, Father, that you've given me your Son, the most precious thing in the universe. How much more will you freely give me all things? I thank you that I'm your son or daughter, and that I belong to you, and you're completing a good work in me, and your presence is moving in me. And I thank you that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. And I ask you to rise up in me and reveal Jesus and reveal again the joy of my salvation. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. So let's take some time and fellowship today in Jesus' name.